Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Miniature golf isn't miniature anymore on Holy Moly, ABC's new golf undertaking that begins next Thursday night. Executive producer Wes Denning joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Not so long ago, Michael Wilner presided over Inside Communications, one of the top cable operators in the United States. Now he runs Pensera, offering a unique service to cable system owners. We'll learn about Pensera and Wilner's current thoughts on the world of television later this hour. And if you catch Disney Channel tonight, you can sneak preview Just Roll With It, a comedy that takes some unexpected directions approved by the studio audience. Executive producers Adam Small and Trevor Moore will explain next hour. Also ahead, telemedicine using television in a very unique way. We'll have the details of that segment, I'll have one of our game show executive producers on Monday, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Happy to have you with us on this pre-Father's Day Friday of the program All About Television, 6:63 at the top of the hour. Happy almost starting your weekend to you and yours, and we're delighted to have you with us for a 90-day edition of the program All About Television, second in a row this week. Great guests coming your way throughout the program, so listen in and be interactive with us. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway and catch us across the country and around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We've got our chat room in business, two listeners already in the room, so use it. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's where you'll find the room, SimonApple04 by name. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Become the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions that other people can be live with you. Wes Denning from Holy Moly will join us live from Portland, Oregon, right here after these news notes. How would you like your doctor to visit you through television instead of the other way around? Cisco and American Well are co-developing a TV house call venture, CNBC reported this morning. A doctor affiliated with American Well could check up on patients, especially ones requiring medical services on a regular basis. The doctor would connect with the subject by live video, using a set-top device played on top of the TV set, and Wi-Fi transmission between the patient's home and the doctor. Both parties declined comment on when this telemedicine format will be implemented, and if so, will it be by local basis or nationwide? Lena Dunham has finalized her next series project for HBO. The Girl's creator and co-star will co-executive produce and direct the pilot of Industry, a drama series dealing with international finance. 8 episodes will be filmed this summer, put together by former finance participants Conrad K. and Mickey Dunn. The Girl Industry will be the new project from former Girl star Lena Dunham. Controversial legal TV analyst Nancy Grace was back on the tube July 13th. Her new project is Injustice, a weekly showcase of true crime cases on Oxygen. Each episode will explore one case in depth, the archival footage, interviews, and commentary by Grace. Got a trio of quickies before we get to our first guest. Conan O'Brien's next Without Borders primetime special will originate from Ghana in Africa and will air on CBS September 17th. NBC Universal will turn an empty warehouse in Albuquerque, Mexico, into a production studio under a $500 million investment with Garcia Reality and Development. The agreement runs through 2029. And LA's Finest, the first television series in Tri-Communications Spectrum Originals venture, will be back for a second season on demand, co-starring Gabriel Union and Jessica Alba. Curfew, that's series number 2 from Spectrum Originals, debuts June 24th. And by the way, if you want to catch our exclusive interview from last month with the two Brendans from LA's Finest, that's the creative executive producers, Brendan Margolis and Brendan Solier, you can catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Once again, LA's Finest has been renewed by Spectrum Originals for a second season playing video on demand. And that is news notes for today. If you are a game show fan, June of this year has been a busting out all over experience for you with the revivals of Press Your Luck and Card Sharks Wednesday night on ABC, Best Ever Trivia Show starting this Monday on GSN, and there's more game shows in the works for the rest of the month. One of them being Holy Moly. If you think you've played miniature golf in any which way possible, wait till you see what this course is all about. Put together in part by Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry. The program premieres next Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time on your local ABC station. And joining us live from Portland, Oregon, en route to the airport where we're going to his favorite space, Los Angeles, we welcome our executive producer of the series, Wes Denning. Wes, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Really excited to talk about holy moly. We're excited about the show. It's a really great one.
And it's a very different one because you're taking a sport that millions play at one point or other in their lives, especially the golf fans, and you really giant-sized it, to say the least.
Absolutely. And it's really funny you say that, but when we were developing this idea, it really was tapping into, you know, a game that I think, you know, it's something like 51% of Americans play at least one round of mini golf a year. And when we looked at who played mini golf, it wasn't just people on the coast, but when you look at a map of the United States, it's literally from coast to coast. There's miniature golf courses in every state and hundreds of them. And it's a game that's steeped in nostalgia, whether it's, you know, where you played mini golf as a kid or where you might have gone on a first date. And what we wanted to do was really tap into this game, but do it in a way where we could supersize it, but also have fun with it. I mean, we started looking at all the other competition shows out there and, you know, everyone's very fit and they're buff and they want to win. And what we loved about the mini golf world was it doesn't matter what size you are, what shape you are, what part of the country you're from, what your background is, it's something that everyone plays and everyone has a chance at winning. So we really took that sort of family-friendly, nostalgic, distinctive sort of space and we supersized into a crazy, hilarious, and often wacky and wonderful world. So all that makes for hopefully what will be a very entertaining competition series like the world has never seen.
He's also one of the first TV efforts for Steph Curry. Of course, he just came off the loss with the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. It was on last night on ABC. Great game, by the way. And congrats to the folks at the Toronto Raptors. But also congrats to the Warriors for a great five-year run at being in the NBA Finals, three of them times being NBA champion. And Steph now has like a number of NBA talents form their own production companies, and you're working with him on this. Did Steph play a lot of miniature golf when he was younger, and how did he and you and everybody else connect with this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Steph has been such a fantastic partner in this right from the start. So Stefan absolutely played miniature golf as a kid. And not only that, he loves golf. Like if he wasn't playing basketball, you know, or when he's not playing basketball, he's playing golf. So when we came to Stefan with this idea to develop this crazy mini golf world, he was on board right from the start. I mean, it's on brand with him. You know, his company is all about family friendly, you know, entertainment programming. Eureka, we're all about big formats and entertainment. So it really was a match made in heaven. And Steph was across the creative right from the start in terms of seeing the holes. You know, he wanted it to be fun. He wanted it to be a real competition. And just like us, the show nods to the fact that it is mini golf that we're talking about here. So you can't take it too seriously. And he loved that as well. Like we like to think of it as a serious competition set in a silly world. So Stefan and his team, it really was right on brand for them. And they've been a lot of fun to collaborate with. He's such a champion. And just to bring his followers to the show is a real win for us. And you know, he's been nothing but an amazing in support of it.
We have three people now in our chat room, so thanks for coming aboard. That's SimonApple04 by name. It's our homepage, blogtogree.com/televised. So put your thoughts in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you interacting with our guests. Explain the format of Holy Moly and how people can win a $25,000 cash prize.
Yeah, that's right. So on every episode, so there's 10 episodes. On every episode, we're going to meet 12 enthusiastic mini golfers, 12 contestants from across the country, and they're going to go up against each other in a series of head-to-head battles. And whoever wins each head-to-head battle moves forward to the next round. And the golfers that make it to the final round, which will be three golfers in the final round, will compete on one hole, which is Mount Holy Moly, and the winner of that hole will win $25,000. So Really simple format, 12 competitors, 3 rounds, one winner takes all.
We've got Wes Binning. He is one of the executive producers with Steph Curry of Holy Moly. It premieres next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and it's part of a 2-hour block of new game events that you can see on ABC. The other one is called Family Food Fight. It's an interesting family food competition, and guess who hosts it? I believe it's Steph's wife, Aisha Curry, who has a wonderful career in her own right. And that's on 9 o'clock on your local ABC station. Let's join the side from Portland, Oregon, en route to Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm Matt Bumby, live from New York, 663 is the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for Wes, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. We have 3 episodes coming your way next week. And kicking off that first episode on Monday, we will have one of the people behind a very popular service called Rooster Teeth. They've done some very interesting animation, including a project a lot of people are talking about called Jedlock. We will have the creator executive producer from Rooster Teeth, Greg Haddock, will be with us. And yes, we're going to keep the game show fever going in June because Fox has a brand new series premiering on June 20th called Spin the Wheels from Justin Timberlake. And the contestants who spin that wheel could win multi-millions of dollars. Andrew Glassman, the executive producer of Spin the Wheel, a very interesting game show person in the scene, he'll be with us also. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up on Wednesday, we'll go live to Denver and speak with one of the founders of Series Fest, the annual television festival now in its 5th year. Randy Klein, the co-founder and chief executive officer, will be with us. That's next Wednesday live, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let's talk about the course itself. How many holes did you have to design, you and your team have to design, to make the course?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we actually, in Holy Moly, we designed 10 of the most extreme miniature golf holes that you could imagine. So, you know, as an example, you know, everyone's familiar with miniature golf courses having windmills, right? And traditionally you putt your ball and it goes through the windmills and out the other side. So what we decided to do was take that classic imagery or that classic sort of challenge of putting through a windmill, and we built giant oversized windmills where not only do you have to putt the ball through the windmill, but you have to run through it yourself without being knocked off the course. That's one example. Another example, we have this great hole called Mount Holy Moly. And essentially what contestants have to do is they have to putt their ball up the volcano, and then they have to run up the volcano to a ledge where they reach out for a zip line, and they have to ride a zip line across the lava, or across a pond, I should say, and land on a landing pad, and then run up to where the hole is and putt their ball in for the win. So every single hole in Holy Moly is pretty much a crazy imaginative process that we went through to think of holes that not only are sensational to look at, but also holes that anyone can compete in. Because on the show, our youngest competitor is 18 and our oldest competitor is 71. So if you are a skilled putter and you have some agility and you've got a little bit of fitness and you're in good health, you can win on Holy Moly. You know, you need to be able to putt. But these are really tough holes, and in every hole there's a few ways you can play it, so that you know, putting skills will always sort of trump you know, just being agile or fast on the course. So it was a really fun process to go through, and look, the team at ABC were very, very supportive and collaborative of our big, crazy, wild ideas, and I really think it's a course that I hope it's a course that people all across the country are going to want to come out and play themselves. I think when you look at it, you go, wow, I want to play on that mini golf course. So hopefully it's distinctive and a lot of people, I think, will want to come out and play the course.
Where was the course constructed, and how long did it take to go from designing the holes to actually physically constructing the holes and make them operational?
Yeah, great question. So the set and the holes were built out in Sable Ranch, which is just outside of Los Angeles. And Sable Ranch is quite famously known as the location where they did Wipeout. It's also the location where they did Ultimate Beastmaster. And out there at Sable Ranch, there are a series of pools, and we were able to construct our holes over several of those pools. Now, not all of our holes are over water, but some of them are. So that's where we ended up building the set, and we shot it all at night. So it's a fantastic setting and location to have the show. In terms of the process, we started developing the holes last year. And what the really fun part was, not only sketching up the holes and dreaming up what they look like, but we actually, with our build team, ATS, who are based in Burbank, we actually started making the holes inside a giant warehouse in Burbank. And inside this warehouse is where we tested all of the mechanics of these holes. You know, whether it was sweeping rods coming around you in the air, or giant windmills, or arches that we'd have to hit over. So essentially, we were able to create modified versions of all of these holes inside a warehouse, and we tested them for weeks and weeks and weeks until we got the mechanics just right. And then we spent about 2 months out in the field actually building the course, constructing it, and then obviously Art and our production team came in to dress the course. So all in all, it was probably about a good 9 months of development and production to actually bring this course to life. We essentially built 10 holes that we dreamt up from scratch.
I believe we may have a caller on the line. Let's see if we do. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? I guess the person is not on the air. Okay. if you're on, then try to get on, call back, and we will get you aboard. With the holes, do they range from simple, as the contestants play, and you whittle them down from 12 to the finals going for the mount, are the holes go from simple to hard, or do you mix up the degree of difficulty, let's say?
To be honest, we mix up the degree of difficulty, and every hole is difficult in its own way. You know, for example, one of our more simple holes on the surface is a hole called Sweet Spot, and essentially you have two giant rotating discs, and the hole is actually on one of those rotating discs. So you have to putt while you're spinning around onto another rotating disc, which is where the hole is. So very much it's about balance and putting correctly. Whereas other holes, you know, do require a little bit more physical skill. We have one hole, which is, it's called Arctic Tri Golf. And essentially you have to putt your ball over a 30-foot arch and then run across a series of four lily pads that are above water to get to the other side to reach your ball in order to putt it in. So, just like what's interesting about the format as well is just like a golf broadcast, when you're watching golf, you tend to go from one hole to another hole to another hole on the course. And the way that Holy Moly works with our 12 contestants and our series of head-to-head battles is we can literally go from one hole to the next throughout the broadcast. And it really feels like a live, living, breathing sporting event. And really every hole, you see a vast variety of skills required in order to hopefully get that hole in one.
We just got another person into our
and
chat
room.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and the great thing about it is, when you do get that hole in one, or you do sink that putt, it is the most sensational feeling you can ever imagine. And we all know what it feels like on a mini golf course, but then when you're putting and $25,000 is on the line, the great thing about Holy Moly is the show can go from a huge celebration of miniature golf, and it's silly and it's wonderful and it's fun, but all of a sudden, in that moment where you're putting to win the cash or to stay in the competition, you know, it feels very, very real and intense. So this show has some wonderful extremes that we can play with that really ranges from the fun and whimsy that we all love to the very, very, amazing moments where someone's going to make a hell of a lot of money for a really simple looking putt.
We have a new person in our chat room, so welcome aboard. You have a question or a comment for our guest, Wes, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Let's see if we now have our caller. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Okay, guess not. Hopefully that person may come back. Now, it looks from the promos like you wanted a dream team to call the action, and you certainly, I think, do. You got one of the best play-by-play people in the business. That's Joe Tessitore, who did college football for ESPN for many years. Now is the play-by-play person from NFL Monday Night Football. You've got Rob Riggle, who we've seen from The Daily Show to commercials all over the place. He does the color commentary. And you got Jeannie Mai from The Real, syndicated show, was on the Joker's Wild with Snoop Dogg the first season, who sort of does, I guess, the celebrity interviews, the on-the-course roving reporter. What was it like getting all three of them together?
It was fantastic. It was a dream come true, to be honest. We, from the very start, knew we wanted Joe Tessitore as our play-by-play commentator. He's such a skillful guy. He really makes holy moly. He makes every hole feel like it's the Olympics or the Super Bowl, which is great. And then in terms of a partner for Joe, Rob Riggle is someone who we all love, and I know the team at ABC loves. And I sat down with Rob, and the very first time we sat down to talk about holy moly, he just had so many great questions. He totally loved the game, and he literally, we came out of that meeting and he said, let's do this. And when we first brought Joe and Rob together, their chemistry was just, it was electric, and it really shows on set. And Jeannie Mai, we were looking for someone as our color sort of sideline reporter, and I've known Jeannie for a long time, and she's just so skilled. She's so personable. In fact, I think her first ever kiss was on a mini golf course. So it only felt fitting that if someone's going to be there cheering and being the conduit between the contestants and the audience at home, that Jeannie was the perfect person to do that. So couldn't be more thrilled with the three talent that we have fronting the show. And I think it really comes across in the show that you can tell they're having a fun time in every single episode.
You're hearing Wes Denning. He's one of the executive producers of the new ABC golf competition, Holy Moly. It premieres next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, part of a two-hour block. But 9 o'clock includes Family Food Fight, hosted by and executive produced by Alicia Curry. And Wes joins us live from Portland, Oregon. He's going to be en route to Los Angeles shortly. And he's with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you from New Weather, York. If you have a question or a comment in our remaining minutes with Wes, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. So use our chat room, Simon Apple, Joe Forman. We have another person that just joined the chat room. So use that room, get us your questions and thoughts, or give us a call. We really would appreciate it. And coming up 1 week from today on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have, among other people, the President Chief Executive Officer of an up-and-coming food network that you can only hear and see on smart TV sets and smart TV devices called Gusto Television. His name is Chris Knight. Very interesting entrepreneur. I think you'll enjoy hearing about how Gusto is trying to make its own mark in the world of food television through smart TV sets and devices. Chris Knight from Gusto TV. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Among our guests that day, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And coming up the following week among our guests, we'll have one of the executive producers of a critically acclaimed movie becoming a television series. Doc's Book, remember that film? Wolfgang Peterson's classic movie aboard a claustrophobic submarine. Well, now it is a new miniseries, and it's already now running and getting great reviews for it. We'll have one of the executive producers with us live. That's coming up a week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Are we going to see any professional or amateur golfers on the show trying to sort of make their mark in a miniature fashion?
You know, it's funny, in researching the miniature golf world, there actually is like a mini golf, like semi-professional organization, and they even hold mini golf masters. So we brought on as a consultant, you know, someone from their team that helped us sort of with our casting to find really great golfers from across the country. And in Holy Moly, we do have some mini golf pros, and we have some semi-professional golf players as well. And what's great about it is you really see them go up against mum and dads, everyday Joes, that are also very passionate about putting. So yeah, absolutely. And I can't obviously say what happens, but it makes for a really interesting competition, because when it's a 4-foot putt, it doesn't matter whether you've been playing golf all your life, or if you have been playing it, I should say, if you've been playing it professionally, or if you've been playing it as a hobby. When you're 4 foot away from a putt, let's just say sometimes the game can get in your head. So, yeah, we definitely do have some pros that play in the game as well.
If you get an order for more episodes, would you consider doing an episode featuring all professional golfers, both men and women? I mean, could you see the likes of a Tiger Woods or Brooks Koepka or Justin Rose, who are currently, by the way, playing the U.S. Open? By the way, those who don't know, Justin Rose is still leading. And I understand Tiger Woods is now 200 par, about 5 shots back as we speak, to have maybe the PGA, LPGA, Seniors Tour, maybe doing their thing on your course.
I think so, absolutely. I mean, we had Michelle Wee come and play the course, who was the U.S. Open winner in the women's PGA. She loved it, and she was fantastic on there. I think that could be a lot of fun. I think we should call up the ABC executives and do an all-star golfing version of episode of Holy Moly. I like where your head's at. And in fact, to be honest, it'd be interesting to see them go. It'd be interesting to see the pros go up against everyday people as well. But look, we had Michelle Wee come and play the course. We had Kenny G, who's a fantastic golfer, came and play the course. So I honestly think that when golfers do see it, they'll all, when they're not obviously playing, they'd love to come to Holy Moly and practice some of their putting skills for sure.
Before we go, have you and Steph Curry and the other people involved in the show, have you thought about making this a permanent attraction so that perhaps when you're not taping episodes, that people can come off from all over and try the course themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully, you know, in success, hopefully people will be able to come and play Holy Moly at locations all across America, maybe in Disneyland one day. But without getting ahead of ourselves, look, I think in success, people will see the course. And just like you saw Ninja Warrior, people training in their own backyards, I think people are going to want to build mini versions of some of these holes and practice, so that if they get the chance to come and compete on Holy Moly, they've got a good chance to win. So we hope that it really inspires people to pick up a putter. And yeah, in success, look, I think it's great for mini golf. You know, there's so many great mini golf venues across the country that hopefully this will help bring it back into the zeitgeist, and people will get out with their friends and family and loved ones and have a putt.
Holy Moly, ABC's new golf competition and game show, executive produced in part by Steph Curry. It premieres next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check locally for the ABC station in your area. And don't forget, right after that program, the premiere of Family Food Fight, hosted by and featuring Aisha Curry. Very big show. I've seen some promos for that. Really a lot of fun competition. And good for the family. Great family television, by the way. So that's from 8 to 10 p.m., 2-hour block, on your local ABC station. For more details about the program online, go to abc.com. Once again, Holy Moly, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Wes Denning, one of the executive producers of the show, thank you again for joining us and taking time on your route from Portland to Los Angeles. By the way, you were in Portland today to tape another series. Can you tell us about that?
We do a show for Animal Planet called Crikey, It's the Irwins with Steve Irwin's family and with Terry, Bindi and Robert Irwin. So we were just shooting some really great scenes for season two. So back to Los Angeles and back for a big week of Holy Moly on ABC. So yeah, thanks for calling in. Thanks for having me on the show. And please, I hope everyone enjoys Holy Moly. It's very distinctive. It's a lot of fun. And I look forward to hearing everyone's feedback when it comes to air.
Have a nice day, Will West, and we'd love to have you back to talk about that and also about the show you're doing with the Irwins, a marvelous family, and we miss Steve Irwin very, very much, but the family has continued to keep his vision going and realize a lot of ways. And by the way, one other thing before you go, if you haven't tried miniature golf, check it out at a course near you. A lot of great, great people play miniature golf from all over the place, and someone who's done miniature golf, I think you'll really enjoy it. Great sport on the weekends. Take your father out to do it, Father's Day. I mean, wonderful Father's Day present for them.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming
on.
And have yourself a wonderful Father's Day weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Wes Denning from Holy Moly, joining us live from Portland, Oregon, en route to Los Angeles. We have an up on one of our guests for Monday, also dealing with the game show, and we'll have that for you after we have some words from the fine folks at audible.com. If you're in the mood for a very unusual tale, how about this one by Elizabeth Gilbert called City of Girls? It takes place in the Broadway theater world of the 1940s. It's a love story. It's a story of trying to make it, and a whole lot more. And you can listen to it right now to a trial run at audible.com. And remember, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised to get that as one of your three free audiobooks to that service. Remember, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, inspiration, a whole lot more. over 108,000 titles to choose from, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals, everything from one-man, one-woman shows, Broadway or Broadway Real Theater productions, and original productions, especially for Audible.com. And the best thing is, you can listen to any audiobook from them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get a trio of audiobooks, two of them Audible Originals, 1 month trial, great customer service also from the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So check out audibletrial.com/televised. Hear for yourself why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. And before we go to our next half hour, we have an up as an update on one of our guests from Monday, John Quinn, the executive producer of the new version of Press Your Luck, that premiered to good reviews and, I might add, good ratings on ABC Wednesday night. Another show he's been working on was America Says. It's the game show that GSN premiered last year that earned a Daytime Emmy Award nomination this spring for its host, John Michael Higgins. Well, GSN was so happy with the way the show turned out, and so was its parent Sony, that Sony is going to syndicate the show this fall on stations all over the country. And they've already signed up 85% of the country, including stations from Fox, Sinclair, and others. And the show will be starting this September. We'll agree with all new episodes, Higgins back as the host, and John Quinn among the executive producers. Congratulations to John and all the America Says people for a great new season of America Says in syndication this fall on GSN. When we come back, former cable system owner, President Michael Wilner will join us. We'll find out about the venture he's currently doing, and we'll talk about his thoughts on TV, where it's at now, and to come. Michael will join us live from Roxbury, Connecticut, after he pauses at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. Over 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for Sports Time Radio. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about the NBA Finals and about the U.S. Open Golf and a whole lot more. Today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, Sports Time Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Don't forget, that's BTR and Speaker 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised on this Friday before Father's Day, 2019. So I'm going to have fun with you live from New York, 66 degrees at the top of the hour. A lot of people with us today, including a lot of folks in our chat room, 7 at last count. So if you have questions and comments for our guests ahead in the hour ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or put your thoughts in the room. Simon Apple 04 by name, at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and we will get you involved one way or the other. Not so long ago, as I said in the tease, our second guest today was a major player in the cable TV industry. He was the president of Insight Communications, one of the top 10 cable operators in the country, and they were based here in New York City. Well, Insight is no longer around. They sold their systems a while back to other parties, but now our guest is involved in a very interesting, unique venture involving both cable and mobile phones called Pentera. And he has some interesting thoughts about where TV is at now and where it's going. It's a pleasure to welcome to this program for the very first time the chairman and chief executive of Pentera, Michael Wilner, joining us live from Roxbury, Connecticut. Hello, Michael.
I'll tell you what, Simon, what goes around comes around, and how many years have we been interacting with each other?
Oh, it's decade upon decade, Michael.
I have a lot more gray hair than I did back then.
But I'm catching up a little faster these days than before. Michael, so it's a pleasure to have you on. And let's talk about Pentera first of all. Why did you decide to move from your role in the cable industry to something that is providing services to people in cable?
Well, we exited the business in 2012 when we sold Insight to Time Warner Cable. I had, at that point, after 27 years as CEO of that company, found myself with a little time on my hands. About 3 weeks into semi-retirement, my wife told me I needed to go get a job because I was driving her crazy. But Pentera is a company that I was introduced to really before we sold Insight, and I thought it was an interesting technology that would allow people to more efficiently utilize mobile devices to watch television. And if anybody ever read the blog that I had written in the last 3 or 4 years of running Insight, you know, one of the pet peeves that I had was, you know, that the cable industry needed to embrace new technologies and different ways of delivering content to consumers. And I thought that Panthera was right smack in the middle of that space. Given the opportunity to invest in it, later on became more active in the operations, it was a natural transition for me.
Now, what kind of content does Panthera distribute through smartphones, and how is the cable operator involved in bringing that to their customers?
Well, our customers, it's a business-to-business model. Our customers are other businesses who deliver content. We don't have our own content at all. We're a software technology company that enables people like Showtime and Starz and Globo down in South America, Fox, CBS, to enhance the mobile viewing experience of their customers. We plug into their environment. We have an SDK that just kind of fits right in. If you've ever downloaded Billions on Showtime, you use our technology. And so, you know, we're not a content provider. That is not our aspiration at all. Our core business is a technology delivery business.
And how's the business going? What kind of reaction are you getting? Or what kind of impact do you think it's making on people?
Well, if I had to do over again, I think, you know, if anything, I was too early. I kind of underestimated the complexity of gaining rights for download that was different from streaming. And it took longer for networks to obtain those rights from content owners and for distributors to obtain them from networks. So, you know, I think the business really took off about 3-4 years ago, and we've been, you know, adding to the group of customers quite aggressively on a regular basis right now. The entertainment and telecom industries have been our core focus up until now. In the last couple of years, we have a series of other verticals, as we call them, different industries, that we think this particular type of technology is particularly applicable to, and we are in the process of expanding out of our roots industry, which is media and telecom, into things like travel, education, corporate communications. If you have a BMW and BMW wants to, I'm just using this as an example, and they want to deliver video content on a regular basis to their car owners, we enable that kind of delivery through our technology.
We just have had another person into our chat room, so whoever that is, welcome aboard. If you have a question or comment for Michael, make the call or put it in the room, and we will get right to it. Michael, Jeffrey Katzenberg, the NSCM and entrepreneur, co-founder of DreamWorks, is now very, along with Meg Whitman, the former head of eBay, is very, very high, Hewlett Packard, is very high on mobile as a way to distribute content. And they formed a venture called QV. They've attracted more than $1 billion in investment. And it looks like by next year they will start to present short-form content, both scripted and unscripted, to mobile phones that will be in anywhere from 5 to 10 minute chunks per episode. And then ultimately the creators who make those shows can string them together into half hour programs and sell them anywhere they like. So what do you think about what QV is up to?
Well, look, first of all, it's a chunk of change. so there's real money into the concept. I think that the opportunities individualized home entertainment and mobile entertainment are changing right now quite dramatically, and I think that the people who will survive this huge transition are the ones who will anticipate the new consumer behavior and the attractiveness of new ways of consuming product. And I think this is a unique idea. I think, you know, there's a lot of research that suggests that particularly younger people are consuming a lot of video in much shorter chunks. And you know, I think the idea of being able to string them all together into to 30 or 60 or even 2 hour feature length type of content at a later release date is an interesting idea. You know, the challenge here, Simon, is, you know, my history is from the cable industry. You know, the challenges are a lot about things that are beyond the content producer and owner's capability of controlling. You know, the internet itself was never actually intended to do what it's doing today. The idea that it is able to deliver essentially point-to-point narrowcasting to individuals on a one-on-one basis is really quite remarkable, and has cost, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars over a long period of time to keep up with the demand. And the challenge for people who operate these networks, whether they're phone companies or cable companies or strictly ISPs, they have to spend a lot of money in order to be able to keep up with demand, which, by the way, because of interesting new and neat ideas like this one, the actual consumption of bandwidth ever since I've been in the business, which now is going on 20 years that we've been in the internet business, is still increasing at 30 to 40% a year, which, if you think about that over such a long period of time, is absolutely stunning. And it's really kind of remarkable that we're able to actually do a pretty good job of delivering the amount of content that is being delivered on a fairly consistent basis. Now, one of the things that I recognized as I got involved with the technology that Panthera delivers is, you know, we have to do things other than just keep adding capacity to these networks. That's not a sustainable model. We have to find ways to use the existing capacity in a much more efficient way. And a lot of the technology that Panthera delivers is really designed to do just that. So we can push content when the networks are being underutilized. People can subscribe and get things in the middle of the night when their phones are fast asleep and charging. And we can deliver content with instantaneous startup. I understand, really quite surprising to somebody in my generation, you know, if it takes more than 4 or 5 seconds to start, you lose a big hunk of the audience because they just move on to the next thing. And we actually solve that for a lot of the content that people are consuming. So, there are a lot of challenges involved in this transition of content consumption that's going on right now. And all people have to do is look in their own living rooms, and they can see how mom and dad are consuming it one way, teenage kids are consuming it another, and younger kids are consuming it even differently than their older brothers and sisters. So that's the challenge we all have, and hopefully we're up to the task of keeping up with it and ahead of it.
Michael Walder is Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Panthera. He joins us live from Roxbury, Connecticut this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We're delighted to have him aboard, and you too, joining us on Blog Talk Radio Speaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Simon Appel with you live from New York, 66 degrees, beautiful afternoon here in New Web, New York, getting ready for hopefully a terrific Father's Day weekend for you and your family. And if you have a question or comment for Michael, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. It's getting crowded. 8 listeners already in the room. We'd love to hear you. Put your thoughts in the room or give us that call. We are ready and waiting. Don't forget, Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, first of 3 episodes next week, and we'll have 3 more the week after that to bring your June to a close. Coming up on Monday, we'll have one of the people behind Rooster Teeth, the very popular probing service available on smart sets and smart TV devices. He's behind a series called Genlock, which is what people think is one of the best new animated series around. And he's Gray Hatta, creator and executive producer of that program. And then we've got more game show action for you. Andrew Glassman, one of the top game show producers in the field. He's got a new series on Fox coming up next week called Spin the Wheel from Justin Timberlake, where one spin of the wheel could make somebody multi-million dollars richer. That's all coming on Monday. 3 Jimmy's New Pacific right here. On tomorrow will be televised. Michael, we're now in an era where we have 3/4 of all U.S. households having smart TV, whether or not they have cable or satellite. They have smart TV sets. They have smart TV devices like Roku or Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast. They're watching upwards of 10 billion hours a month of content and apps on their sets, according to Nielsen. They are watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access, all sorts of new services as well. We're now seeing interactive TV happen in all sorts of ways. We're seeing artificial intelligence pop up. And in the thick of all that, given the question you asked earlier about are cable operators embracing this, we're seeing Comcast now having a Netflix or Facebook or Twitter as part of their service. You see Charter Communications now in the programming business with Spectrum Originals, with LA's Fun as their first entry getting a second season renewal earlier this afternoon. Altice is now doing national news services, well, local news services, and so on and so forth. So going back to the question you posed in that blog post a while back, do you think cable operators are embracing this new environment for viewers?
I do, very much so. One of the criticisms of the industry that I've heard for many, many years has been that the industry doesn't seem to aggressively keep up with the times. There's a little bit of a bum rap going on there. It's hard to be the incumbent with the legacy investments that have been made sometimes. Most cable company balance sheets have huge liabilities on their balance sheet that go to the category of set-top box consumer equipment. And that equipment can't just be changed out overnight, obviously. It would be a monumental task and a financial hardship. To some extent, the backwards compatibility of the conventional cable service has been a challenge for the industry to keep up with some of the rapid changes that are occurring right now. That said, with some of the latest bifurcation of the business, I think it's safe to assume that the internet business is probably more the core business for a cable operator today than the conventional video service. And that's because they are embracing new ways of receiving TV. And I applaud those efforts. I think they're doing the right thing by making consumers have access to content consistently and easily and without friction. And it's, some of the things that we do in the mobile environment, they're doing in the set-top box environment. And I think that's exactly the right thing to be doing.
And they're also, Michael, creating apps for these smart sets and devices. And I wanted to get your thoughts about this. In nearly 40 years of covering television as a journalist, I think for me, what comes over is I've never seen a phenomenon develop so fast next to cable in the 1980s as smart TV sets and devices have for the last 5 or 6 years, to a point where, as I mentioned, 3/4 of all U.S. households have them. They're watching billions of hours a month. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon have become major players, not just in programming across the country, but around the world, certainly in Netflix's case. And we're going to see Apple get in, and we're going to see Warner Media, Comcast, NBC Universal, Walmart is getting into programming. Costco may get in with a programming service. Other independent players can. You've never seen so much activity galvanized because of what these sets and devices can do and what they've still been able to do because of the inclusion of artificial intelligence, maybe 5G, maybe interactivity in one fashion or another.
That is correct. I don't hear the question in that, but Simon, but look,
what do you make of this environment? The question is, what do you make of this environment about how TV is shaped up with these smart sets and products over the last half decade or so?
Well, I think the, you know, consumers are changing the way they consume television. I think you know, Netflix was a kind of a breakthrough idea that altered the environment. And by the way, it uses up an enormous amount of of the bandwidth during prime time because of the number of customers that they have and the programs that they're watching. This is all very good. It's also very challenging. You know, one of the challenges that I hear about and see in terms of consumer response is, you know, they go to different apps, and each app has a different way of operating on the set-top box or the adjunct box, smart TV. So if you go to Amazon's app, you know, a button on a Roku box may do one thing, and that same button may do something else on a Netflix user experience. And that, I think, is clunky for consumers. I know it can be frustrating sometimes when you think you might be in one and you're operating it as if it's that, and all of a sudden you find out that it sends you back to the home page and you have to go back in and find your way back in again. You know, these are all the kinds of things, I think, that need to be leveled out as the experience of watching television in the living room is bifurcating from linear. You watch it when we tell you it's on. You know, you surf through channels and you decide what you want to watch at the last minute. To, I can put in the, you know, any word I want and find every piece of content that's out there that has that word in the title. And I can watch it anytime I want, and I can pause it and come back to it and all that. I mean, this is revolutionary. This isn't, as you said, you know, the speed at which things are changing today is pretty breathtaking. And, you know, the real challenge here is to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of artificial intelligence, the ability to now control the television set with your voice as well as with a remote control?
I think voice activation of navigation is a terrific experience. I use it at times myself. I think, you know, being able to say, tune into a particular channel, I mean, that's old school already, and it just goes there even if you don't know where that channel is. But also, if you want to know, you know, you just have a feeling that you want to go watch an Al Pacino movie, and you just mention his name, and every movie that he's ever been in comes up. But that is a real change in the user experience. You know, when I was a kid, there were three networks to watch, and you watched what they gave you when they gave it to you. When I became a young adult and got involved in the television industry, I chose to get involved in cable, and that was because we took that experience of three that became four major networks and turned it into 30 and then 60 and then 100 and then, you know, several hundred different choices, but still in a linear fashion. And that was revolutionary. I mean, people just thought there's 500 channels and nothing to watch. Well, you know, now you can't even call them channels anymore because there aren't any channels. It's just places to go find stuff. And this experience is completely different. I don't think we're ever going back. I think as the population, passes the baton from generation to generation, the experience is going to change with those generations.
This is a good question to complete our conversation on, Michael. For decades, everybody in cable, broadcast, TV, were hoping, when are we going to have an era of interactive television? You know, we lived through Cube, we lived through the full-service network, we lived through ACT, we lived all sorts of tests and trials that went somewhere but not everywhere or nowhere or whatever. And here we are in 2019, and you get the sense that the question is no longer, are we ever going to see interactive TV in our lifetime, but how fast is this going to fly with the American public? Whether it's content, the ability to change the direction of a show, whether it is to order a product or service while you're watching the advertisement or watching the program, whether it is playing a video game or through a service like Google's upcoming Stadia or Apple Arcade, where you can do it without a big super console, do it with a controller, do it with your voice, and even to interact with other devices in your home, the air conditioner, the lights, the refrigerator, freezer, the front door. We saw some of that CE Week the last 2 days at the Jacob Javits Center here in New York, where you can control the set with your voice and control other products. You know, turn on, lower the air conditioning, raise the temperature, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think about this fast interactive world that is shaping up in television?
I think, look, all those things are correct. All those things are exciting and interesting and being developed and will be at various levels of interest accepted by consumers or not. This isn't about, you know, how do I develop interactive TV? The real question is, what can I do with the ability to create interactive television experiences, and what kind of services and products can I deliver in that environment? And I think, you know, those are the ideas that consumers will focus on. Again, this isn't about, you know, I'll give you an example from my old cable days. You know, people tried to sell fiber optics as a product to consumers, and it didn't really necessarily have any great impact on consumers' interest in how they subscribe to their cable service, because you couldn't explain to them what fiber optics did for them that they didn't already have with a full service and a well-built and well-designed conventional network. So, you know, again, interactive TV, it's a platform. I think, you know, technology is allowing us to develop things on that platform. And this is a question about what products can you develop that will be of interest to consumers. You know, and I think, again, in the mobile experience, you know, I think people are more used to interacting with their mobile devices than they are with their fixed television sets. So that may happen actually more quickly at first, and then the whole thing will proliferate onto different devices.
And that, Michael, may be the big factor, is that the American public may finally, thanks to the internet, thanks to smartphones and tablets, may finally be ready to accept interactive television in more ways than one. We will certainly see. That's the key. We will certainly see. If you want to know more about Michael's company, here's where you go online. It's www.pantera.com. www.pantera.com. Michael Wilner, it's been a pleasure to have you aboard. I hope we do this again soon. Thank you for all the thoughts. Congratulations on the success you've had with Pantera. Hopefully much more to come. And have yourself a wonderful Father's Day weekend.
Good talking to you, Simon. Good to reconnect.
Absolutely, Mike. Let's do it again soon. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye.
Michael Wilner, former head of Insight Communications, one of the top cable operators when it was around, and now head of Pantera, joining us live from Roxbury, Connecticut. Now time for our Pocket Trivia Question of the Week. We're still waiting for our winner, and if you are a winner, we got three prizes for you. We have a free subscription to one of the popular services on smart TV tech and smart devices, Knifepipe Plus, whose overseer, Stuart Shapiro, was on this program on Monday. We've got his latest book also, Identify Yourself, A Journey in You Creative Courage. And we also have a wonderful notepad from the fine folks at Telaria. Here's the question. Actor Ree Hadley starred in a pair of half-hour crime dramas running on network television from 1950 to 1955. Name both of them. Ree Hadley starred in two half-hour crime dramas that ran one after the other on network television from 1950 to 1955. Name both of them. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full name address. If you missed the question, we'll try to repeat it before we get done today. If not, check us out tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. As always, you got to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. When we come back, we're going live to Los Angeles, and we're going to speak with the people behind a brand new Disney Channel series that's getting a sneak preview tonight, then premieres next week, and it's a show where improv and family comedy collide. It's called Just Roll With It. And we've got the executive producers of the show, Adam Small and Trevor Moore, joining us live from La La Land. Happy pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and Spreaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out CLTV News Radio, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. CLTV News Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best of both websites available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Now seeing more and more on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Welcome back to the Marvel Televised for this Friday of 2019. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. So I'm going to have one with you live from New York, another 90-minute episode to wrap up your week. 66 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard. More great guests coming away this half hour ahead. And we invite you to participate. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere, catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker. And if you're shy about the phone, put your thoughts or questions in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we have six people already in the room. Well, if you check out the Disney Channel this Friday night around 9:45 Eastern Pacific Time, you may find a very unusual sight. The site of a situation comedy where at some point the actors will go off stage and the studio audience is going to determine what happens next. And guess what? The actors don't know what happens next until it happens to them. That is the premise of Just Roll With It, which will officially premiere next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live in Los Angeles, the executive producers of the program, and they are Adam Small and Trevor Moore. Adam and Trevor, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. And Adam, I'll start with you. Both of you worked on another Disney show called Walk the Plank, and I'm wondering if playing a prank on the actors of a sitcom came out of that, doing that experience.
Yeah, well, we Toby Wyndham, who was one of the stars of Walk the Plank, he's also one of the stars of Just Roll With It, and he would prank other people in these pranks in the show, and we just decided to pull him into this show so we could pull pranks on him.
Trevor, in this age of interactive television that we just talked about with Michael Wilner in the last half hour, this is, you might say, a very interesting interactive show, interactive as far as the relationship between you as producers and the studio audience. Explain how Just Roll With It works.
Well, we let the audience vote on the direction of the show. So once every act, so three times during the show, a horn will go off, and the cast will have to get rid of the script that they've been practicing all week goes out the window, and then the audience has three options. The studio audience votes on what they want to happen, and then the cast just kind of has to roll with the punches and kind of try to make their way through the rest of the scene. So it's interesting how the thing works, because you end up writing nine different options of what can happen to the script. So the script is very dense and complicated, but we've been managing to pull it off so far.
Yeah. And Adam, the fun of this show is that, like Trevor said, the actors have no clue which way the program is going to go. So they are in the dark all the way, and the first time they realize this is where the plot's going to go, maybe where it goes, is when they actually do it.
Exactly. They're caught in the middle of a tornado that they had not planned on being in, and that's the fun of the show, seeing them caught off guard. We like to think that instead of just casting four characters for the show, it's basically eight, because you also get to know the actors behind the characters. Because when they break, it's just them, just in the middle of these crazy situations. So we think of it as eight characters starring in the show as opposed to four.
And Trevor, they have to stay in character also. Because the fun of improv character here, which is unlike regular improv, is you don't go from character to character in sketch after sketch. You have to stay in all three of these instances whenever the audience makes their choices. You have to stay in character. You can't, and you got to also be relevant to the original plot line, too.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dance that the cast has to do because, you're absolutely right. When something happens and the audience votes on something, they do have to react as their characters would react to it. There has to be that grounding reality that continues throughout the stunts. But there's also, you see shades of the actual actor in that. And when the audience is voting, we actually show the behind-the-scenes footage of the cast in the green room waiting and just nervous, wondering what's going to happen to them. So we do see their true personalities there, but then when they're out on stage and they're, you know, improvising, they're doing it in character.
Mm-hmm. Was this an easy sell, Adam, for Disney, even though you had had the relationship with Walk the Plank? Did Disney express any reservations about, well, you know, this is a getaway for us. We've never done a show like this before. It's a tightrope. We have no idea how it's going to come out until you actually do it. Were there any reservations on their part, or they just said, just roll it?
Well, this was a huge leap of faith, as was Walk the Prank. I think Trevor and I knew Walk the Prank was going to work because we'd done hidden camera work before. And we knew how that world worked. With this one, they basically trusted us because we weren't sure that we'd be able to mix the behind the scenes, the circus atmosphere of the audience, and also tell a grounded story involving these four sitcom characters with a normal arc that pays off in the end, where the audience feels good that this family learned something and had a great adventure. So we didn't know if the stunts would interrupt that or break it up to the point where you couldn't follow the story. But Disney took a huge creative and financial leap of faith. And after we shot the pilot, we were relieved, but also very excited that it worked. We could tell a real story and also have this three-ring circus going on at the same time.
Yeah. Trevor, when you assembled your writing staff, what were the marching orders? What did you want them to do, especially given the improv element?
Well, the main thing is that when we wrote this show, we wanted it to, of course, appeal to children, but we also wanted it to be something that the parents would not be annoyed that their children were watching. We wanted it to be funny to the parents as well. So one of the first things we said is, let's not write this as a children's show. Let's write this as a sitcom, a regular sitcom, and let's just keep it clean and try to have it operate on, like, all cylinders so that any age can watch this. And that was kind of – that was our sort of mission when we went into this thing. And it's really all has to be driven by the story because as fun as the votes are – and that's the thing that'll get people to check out the show. It really has to be grounded with these characters, and you have to really love these characters because that's what'll keep people coming back.
We are speaking with Adam Small and Trevor Moore. They are the executive producers and the showrunners of Just Roll With It, which tonight at 9:45 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, you can see a sneak preview of on the Disney Channel. And the official premiere is next Wednesday night. That's June 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Adam and Trevor join us live from Los Angeles this half hour, ripping with us on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Apple with you live from New Web, New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We do appreciate it. Don't forget, we have three episode weeks coming your way next week and the week after. And coming up next Wednesday, at our regular time, we will have, live from Denver, the co-founder and chief executive officer of the popular TV festival Series Fest, which goes into year 5 later this month. Randy Kleiner will join us, and I got to tell you, they have a lot of very exciting projects that they will be screening for the first time in their year 5. So join us live for this special edition of Tomorrow We Tell Live on Wednesday with Randy Kleiner of Series Fest. By the way, I want to let you know that one of the Series Fest pilots actually came from Brit TV here in Brooklyn. We are trying to get the producer and creator of that pilot to join us. And I understand that pilot is going to become a series on Brit TV in the near future. So keep your fingers crossed. We hope to have that person on our show either on that Wednesday or later on in the month. Adam, take us through a prototype episode of Just Roll With It. Give us the main plot, and then let's say what the choices are the first break.
Well, tonight's episode is Blair's got a career day presentation to make. And she's in this new family where her mother has just married a new man, and he has brought a son to the relationship. So it's a mixed family, and her mother is an army veteran, and so she's very strict. But her stepfather is a hip, cool DJ, so he's more fun. So she ends up rejecting her mother, wishes to organize her career day, and she ends up going with Byron, the DJ, who's going to arrange her career day. And of course it goes bad with what he's planned, because he's planned to use a catapult to catapult frozen turkeys in the classroom, which is not a good idea.
Trevor, in casting the show, what were you looking for, especially given the improv element?
We would have the cast come in, the people who are auditioning for the roles. We had to, because this is such a different show than any other show, we had to throw things at them, kind of literally, like, you know, we'd have the people audition, and then we would kind of stop them in mid-audition and kind of throw them a curveball. We would we'd say, we brought out a pepper that we said was a ghost pepper, the hottest pepper in the world, and we were like, now do the scene where you're eating the pepper. And we'd stop them before they actually ate it, you know, but we would just see if the people would be like, okay, and do it, or if they kind of hesitated. And that was kind of how we weeded people out. We wanted actors who were fearless and just down for anything and just ready to jump in, because a huge part of improv is just saying yes and adding to it. So that's what we were looking for, is people who were just ready to play and have fun.
How does the studio audience vote work? Do you have an off-camera announcer do it? Do you have an on-camera host come on as the actors go off to the green room? Host comes on and says, okay, audience, here's the scenarios we want you to vote on, and so on.
Well, the scenarios go up on the monitors in front of the audience, and they're given three choices. Our warm-up guy will explain each choice. They'll tell them, now it's time to vote, and you've got 15 to 20 seconds to choose. And they've got little remote devices at each chair, and they'll vote. And then, boom, we're backstage watching the computer as the votes are tallied. And a representative from Disney has to be there to make sure we're not cheating or lying. So it's there on the monitor. Exactly what was voted for, which one was chosen, got the most percentage, and it's all logged. And then we have to just roll with it and get that thing ready to go for the show.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a game show in there, too, because you have to have a standards and practice person make sure that, you know, everything is on legit, the votes are correct and are tallied correctly and so on.
Come again?
I was saying that there's a little bit of a game show element in it, in that you have to have somebody from Standards and Practices at Disney Channel be there to make sure that the votes are tabulated correctly and, you know, and so on.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's all legit, all 100% above board. Like, we have people checking to make sure that there's no interference in our elections. We're making sure we're not hacked by Russians. It's all, we're doing it all legit.
Yeah. as you were taping this, Trevor, how did you find the studio audience? What was your thinking about as these episodes were being taped or filmed? What was your thinking about the studio audience and like, what were the kind of choices they were going for? Without saying the choices themselves, but just exactly, like, were there any interesting patterns about the kind of plot they'd like to see kind of thing?
Well, we do a thing, you know, it's interesting, as we started doing the show, you know, Adam and I are always trying to predict what the audience is going to choose, and we have our, you know, in our head, we think we know what's going to happen, we have our favorites and what we hope the audience picks, and we're constantly surprised, like, you know, we get, the audience, like a democracy, it's really hard to predict. Like, you know, they surprise you a lot. We did a kind of crazy thing at the end of this current season where we kind of leave the entire arc of the second season up to the audience to vote for. And that's going to determine, like, how the whole next season goes if we do a next season.
Yeah. Adam, talk about the actors. They have some very interesting backgrounds. You mentioned Tilda Swinton, who was in Walk the Plank. But, for example, you've got somebody who was in The Lion King on Broadway, somebody else who was involved with, I think, the new version of Netflix's One Day at a Time, which is brilliantly done, by the way. And I'm still hoping he finds a fourth season somewhere. So explain about the actors and their backgrounds and how they brought those backgrounds to play in their characters.
Well, we lucked out with – we knew what we were going to get with Toby, because we'd worked with him for 3 years. But Susie Barrett is a UCB performer, so she does a ton of improv, has a show there every weekend. She also teaches improv, which was a huge help, because she actually takes the cast through an improv class once a week just to keep them warmed up and to keep them ready for anything. So she's a great asset. She's a really super actress, but also really well-versed in improv. Ramon Reed is just he's a young man, but a grizzled veteran of the stage. So on our first the pilot, you know, he's holding for laughs. He's not thrown by the audience of 150 people because he's used to audiences of 1,000. So he's a vet and an amazing talent, and also he has a great singing voice, which we take advantage of and did some stunts, some scenarios with him involving music and songs. And Kaylin is the youngest, and she also is the most inexperienced. So we weren't sure how she was going to go in that pilot. But she ended up being as professional as all of them. She's just amazing. She's up for anything. She's got this infectious personality. And they all just kind of, they became a family. You know, the way they rehearse, the way they're dealing with these adventures, it is like a family dealing with everyday life.
Trevor, were there any guest stars used?
Was what?
Were there any guest stars used? Are you thought of having guest stars in the episodes?
Yeah, we've had some cool people like pop in throughout the season. We had John Michael Higgins from all the Christopher Guest movies. We had Charles Shaughnessy, who played the dad and the nanny. Like we have like cool people that pop up throughout the show, and then. And Adam and I have been pulling in a lot of like cool like comedians, like stand-ups, to come in and do roles as well. So pretty much every other episode, there's some kind of cool cameo.
By the way, you weren't here, but we mentioned that John Michael Higgins, who is also the host of the GSN Game Show America Says, that show has been picked up for syndication this fall by Sony, and will be on TV stations all over the country. He did a great job. He was nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award for Best Game Show Host, which is a rarity for a cable show to get that, especially for a GSN show.
He's fantastic, incredibly talented. It was really fun. He came in for a week, and you know, he let us. We asked him to do it, because we kind of had the part written for him. And he was kind enough to do it while juggling his, his game show at the same time.
Just roll with it. The unique Disney, maybe the most unique Disney Channel comedy series ever. It involves family comedy and improv comedy smack against each other in a very interactive way. And it premieres tonight in a sneak preview fashion at 9:45 Eastern Pacific Time on the Disney Channel. Then it gets its official premiere next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, its regular time period. Adam Small and Trevor Moore are the two executive producers and showrunners of the program. They're with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. And we'd like to have you interact with us in our remaining minutes. So do so at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, coming up next Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, one of our guests will have the person behind Gusto TV. It's the new unusual food network that you can find on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Chris Knight, the President Chief Executive Officer of Gusto, will be among our guests. That's Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell. And by the way, the following week, among our guests, we will have, I believe it will be 2 weeks from Friday, we'll have one of the top costume designers in the world of television. Her name is Trace Field. She's done some very interesting shows in the last year or so. You'll hear about what she does and how she does it. That's coming up 2 weeks from Friday, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. In terms of directing, I'm curious who you decided to pick, Adam. Sir, I'll ask you. I'm curious who you decided to pick as a director and why, because it hit me just now that you would need a director who can really respond to the moment. Maybe someone who's done live television, game show TV, things like that. I'm just curious who you chose to direct and how he or she done.
Well, we did the pilot with Jamie Widows, who's a really talented director and also a very talented actor. You know, he was a co-star of Animal House, and he's also just a really nice man, confident in his ability, and someone we knew wouldn't get too nervous at the daunting task of pulling off this style of show. And so he kicked off the pilot with a really self-assured manner about him that made everybody feel confident. And I think the last words he said to us before we started, he said, you know, usually it feels like it's a panic, but once the show starts, you'll see it'll all come together. And I think he had this calming effect on the cast and the crew. So he really kicked it off great. And then we just found directors that were open to a challenge and didn't think there was only one way to do a show, because everybody from cast to crew has to just roll with it. So we found directors, people that were flexible in their creative way of doing things.
All right, I think we have time for a call. Let's try it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on the air. Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow We Televise. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, hi, my name's Dion. I want to know, what's the most challenging part of putting a show like this together?
Well, the most challenging is that we have to prepare multiple different things and have them all ready to go at a moment's notice. So because the audience is voting on three different options at three different points in the show, that's nine different scenarios that are all waiting in the wings. So, you know, if we are doing a scene where we're going to have a horse run through, or they're going to have like a boa constrictor come through the window, or a giant pig like run into the house, we've got the horse and the boa constrictor and the pig all backstage, and then we're waiting to hear from the audience. They're like, okay, we're telling the pig guy and the horse guy to go home. We're bringing the snake out. Like, it's so backstage, it's kind of chaos. It's a lot like a circus.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely, sure. Deanne. Where are you calling from, Deanne, by the way? Los Angeles?
Deanne, yes. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Okay, Deanne, go right ahead.
What's your favorite moment that's happened or whatever scenario stunt that the audience has picked so far?
Well, we can't give it away, But there was one vote in the scene where one of our actors had to do a scene, and the audience voted. Does he do the scene with his mother, his wife, or his sister? And so the audience voted, and you'll see later on in the season that this performer has to do a scene with a family member that he never expected to see.
Yeah, they flew in from Alabama. So he opens the door, and all week he's been rehearsing this scene with an actress. And then on the show night, he opens that door, and his relative is there, and he didn't know. And it's a really – it's a fun thing to watch because you see all you see him as a person, as a, the actor, reacting to seeing his relative. But then you also see him trying to pull it together and still stay in character and perform the scene the way that the story needs it to be performed.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Well, good luck. I'm looking forward to watching it with my daughter.
Oh, well, I hope you both like it.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome, Deanne. Thanks so much for the call from Los Angeles. Have a great weekend. That's Deanne from Los Angeles right here on Tomorrow We Tell It Live. Before we wrap things up and say goodbye to everybody, Adam and Trevor, if Disney Channel allows it, would you do an episode live?
We are talking about doing that right now. We're thinking that is something that we would like to do because we think there would be something very interesting about letting the entire country vote in real time for some of these episodes.
Yeah, you anticipated that question, whether the home audience could vote as well. Talk about super interactivity. Studio and home audience. It'd be interesting to see also if there are differences in terms of what the studio audience votes versus the home audience, or everybody goes the same.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting, but that's definitely in the works. It's something that we definitely want to do with this show.
The program is just roll with it. It's unlike any Disney Channel comedy series you have ever seen. You can get the sneak preview tonight, 9:45 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, or thereabouts. And then the official premiere is next Wednesday, June 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. That's the regular time period. Check the local where Disney Channel is available in your area, on cable and satellite. For more details online, go to www.disneychannel.com. It's www.disneychannel.com. Just roll with it. Sneak preview tonight, 9:45 Eastern and Pacific time. Adam Small, Trevor Moore, thank you both for joining us. Good luck with the series. Hopefully a great run in store, and I'd love to see the show live at some point. And hopefully, if you go beyond year one, it happens.
Thank you very much. Thanks for talking to us.
You're right, Adam and Trevor. Both of you have a fantastic Father's Day weekend.
You too.
And best of cast and crew, too. Take care.
Okay, bye.
I'm Small and Trevor Moore from Just Roll With It, joining us live from Los Angeles. Thank you to all of our guests for a marvelous 90 minutes, and we hope you'll join us for the first of our three episodes on Monday, when we'll be joined by Gray Haddock from Rooster Teeth and the new animated series, Jen Locke, and game show creator and producer Andrew Grassman, the executive producer of the new Fox series with Justin Timberlake involved, Spin the Wheel. If you came to land on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also check out the podcast version available all Father's weekend long on iTunes, Apple TV, Speakers Podcast app, and of course, the IR Radio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. However you get communicated with us, we'll communicate back. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. I'm saying those of Block Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Any show is BTR General Manager. Jay Somberg is Executive Content Producer. And the co-founders are Al Levy and Bob Chowish. Tomorrow We Tell It Live is brought today by Audible.com, an Amazon company, and Power Development Partner, the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow We Tell It Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Father's Day weekend and a great Father's Day on Sunday. Be great with your dad. Hi, Dad. And my brother, Gary, also a father, too. Look forward to seeing you at the barbecue. And we'll be back on Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here. You know where? Blog Talk Radio Speaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whenever you're up to this Father's Day weekend, please, more than ever, make it safe and make it great. And until next time, just roll with it and stay well and stay tuned.